Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. This is God's word. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches.' He told them still another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough.' Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.' Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In the midst of spiritual warfare and false professors, the kingdom of our Lord will ultimately prevail. Now, what does that mean? The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Remember last time we talked about the fact that if you want to get a good crop, you've got to prepare the ground. You've got to get rid of other stuff that you don't want to grow up with what you're planting. This man had done that. He had good seed. He was putting it on good ground. But there's another dynamic always at work in the world around us. And that is we have an enemy. We have an enemy who seeks to deceive, to destroy, and he is the one who came and sowed the bad seed. He sowed weeds. And so in the midst of what was going on, while people were sleeping, the weeds grew up along with the wheat. Now, that's a problem. Because as we saw last time, if there are weeds there, they're going to suck up a lot of the nutrients. They're going to take a lot of the attention. They're going to require a lot of what is needed for the wheat. So now the wheat and the weeds are growing up, and the servants come and they say to the owner of the field, "Hey, what kind of seed did you buy? Didn't you buy good seed?" I mean, it is possible, by the way, to buy cheap seed that isn't as pure, it's not as good a quality, and it might have some other kinds of seeds accidentally mixed in. He says, "No, I used good seed." Well, where did the weeds come from then? And he says, an enemy has done this. That's why I say in the midst of spiritual warfare, the word midst is a word you ought to know, okay? It doesn't exactly mean in the middle of, and it doesn't just mean in the presence of. If you said in the middle, that would mean literally in the middle. If you said in the presence, it would be that there's another presence there. In the midst means that it is present in the whole thing. Okay? So in the midst of spiritual warfare, in the middle of it, in the presence of it, it's always going on. It's all around us. That is the nature of this world in which we live. That is the nature of the warfare that we fight. In the midst of spiritual warfare and false professors. What does that mean? That means people who claim to be Christian, they're growing up with the wheat, but you kind of, look, I don't think that's wheat. I think that's a weed. Have you ever heard the expression, the church is full of hypocrites? I mean, how many of you have heard that expression, the church is full of hypocrites? How many of you have seen that firsthand? Isn't that sad? What's going on? Jesus says, hey, don't be surprised. There are weeds in my garden. There are unconverted people who are involved in ministries, who are involved as ministers, who are involved as members of the congregation. There are people who profess faith in Christ, but they are not God's children. We're all God's children. Nope, actually not. Jesus says, no, we're not. We're not all God's children. Jesus would say to some very religious people in his day, you are sons of your father, the devil. I think that sounds judgmental. Well, it was, and it was spoken by the judge. All right? And Jesus says, you and I are supposed to be discerning, and when his followers say, well, let us just go in there and pull those weeds out, okay? Jesus says something interesting. You might accidentally pull up the wheat. It's not your job to weed my garden. I know which are mine. The Bible says the Lord knows those who are his. And the Lord knows those who are his. I've been fooled before. I had a guy who worked for me. I didn't think he had good character, but I had no idea what a sleaze he was. Okay? This was not here. Oh, is that some? No, it's not anybody you know. But this guy turned out not only to be a gossip, which I learned pretty quickly, but to be a liar and a thief. And that's a problem because this guy was supposed to be in ministry. Wow, that's distressing. I finally had to fire him. That was not easy because his roots went deep. But after I fired him, he went to work for another church in our general area. And he ended up getting fired there too, only this time it was because in addition to his other problems, it turns out that he was something of a sexual predator. something I had not picked up on at all. Now let me tell you something. God knows those who are His. And you and I may get fooled. God is not fooled. He knows everything about each of us. And so if we think that we can kind of slip in there and without really being wheat, we can get the food that's meant for the wheat. You need to understand something. God's the one who owns the garden. And He sees what's going on. And He will deal with it. And those who are not His will end up in the fire. That's His promise.
That's not a promise I've ever seen on a bumper sticker.
No, it's not. It's not the kind of thing that sells real well in Christian stores. Hallmark's never printed it on a card. Holiday greetings. Just thought you should know. Those who are not genuinely saved will spend eternity in the fire. Love, Jim. I don't know. Maybe I could launch a line of cards and they'd sell. There might be a whole bunch of other people out there saying, yeah, I know somebody I want to send that to. But you see, the problem is this isn't intended for them. This is what Jesus explains to His own followers. One of His own followers, a fellow by the name of Judas, who was the treasurer, okay, was going to betray Him. So I've always thought that Judas was just kind of misunderstood. He was really just trying to force Jesus' hand. I know because I saw this movie that was produced back in the 1970s. And Jesus, see, was kind of holding back and not wanting to, you know, go ahead and overthrow Rome. And Judas thought that if he could force Jesus' hand, then it would be okay. Well, I read the Bible more than I watch 70s movies. And in the Bible, it says that he would have been better off if he'd never been born. That he was destined for destruction. That's what it says in God's book, in His Word. So we need to understand that there are those who are false professors. They profess to follow Jesus, but their profession is false. And in Matthew chapter 7, which we studied some time back, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this for you? And didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do this in your name? And Jesus says, I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. So the question is not, how do I detect the weeds? The question is, who are you? Is your profession of faith genuine? Are you truly trusting in Jesus and in Him alone for your salvation? Or are you, like those in Matthew chapter 7, thinking somehow that you're going to be saved by what you do for God? Because see, that was the problem in Matthew chapter 7. Those folks tried to tell God about all the stuff they'd done. We did this, we did this, we did this. If your hope is in what you've done, you're still on the road to destruction. There is no hope for any of us in our works. I don't care how hard you work. The Apostle Paul talks about all the things he had to his credit. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. As to the law, blameless. Doesn't mean he never sinned. It means that he knew how to keep the rules. Some of you are becoming good at keeping the rules. God bless you. That's a good thing. Just don't think it'll get you into heaven. It might help you make level 2. It might help you make level 3. You might even make it to level 4. But you'll still make it to hell if you think that that's what saves you. Improving your behavior is a good way of getting ahead in life. But remember, the broad road leads to destruction. It's not just about keeping rules. It's about trusting Jesus. Yielding your life to Him and saying, whether anybody sees what I'm doing or not, I want to do what God says. That is what matters. Are you trusting in Him?
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Jesus tells this story about the weeds, and it explains a lot about what is going on in this world. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Between the story of the weeds and the explanation of the story, Jesus tells 2 other stories. And the first story that he tells, verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Mustard seeds are very small. I mean, put it next to a lima bean or a kernel of corn or a grain of wheat. You put it next to those things and it's like tiny. This is a little bitty thing, looks insignificant. But if you plant that little bitty seed in good soil and it grows and becomes a plant, it becomes, as Jesus says, the largest of the garden plants. It's not the biggest tree in the forest, but it is the largest of the garden plants. Compared to the other things, it becomes so much bigger, you would never guess that that thing with birds resting in its branches could possibly have started out as this little tiny thing. Total aside here, but it's worth mentioning. It's hard to believe that all of us in this room started out as a little tiny thing. But we did. Every single one of us started out so tiny that we couldn't even hold it in our hand and look at it. We started smaller than that. Just a little tiny cell that began to divide and grow and turn into the beautiful people that you are now. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus says the kingdom of God may not look like much when it first gets started. But the kingdom of God, though it starts out small, is going to grow and become strong, and it will be a place of blessing and refuge to others. But just in case you didn't get the point, Jesus then tells another story. He says the kingdom is like yeast. You ever seen yeast? I remember my wife decided years ago she wanted to bake bread at home, and we had to go to the store and buy yeast. I didn't know they sold yeast in stores. I had no idea what it looked like, where to find it, or whatever. Turns out you can get dry yeast in a little package, a little pack of dry yeast, or you can get cubes of yeast that's moist and much better for baking the kind of bread I like. And so, you know, we had to find it in the store. But let me tell you, just a little bit of yeast will permeate the whole large lump of dough. And that's what Jesus says the kingdom is going to do. It's this little tiny thing. You don't even see it. You don't look in the dough and say, oh yeah, you can see the yeast in there. You really can't. It just seems to blend in. It's just kind of there. But man, it totally changes. Totally changes the character of the dough. If you ever try and bake bread without yeast, and you bake bread with yeast, and you compare the two together, it is astounding. It is remarkable, the difference. And what starts out small turns into something wonderful. How many of you like yeast bread that's all fluffy and, isn't it good? And you just smear the butter on there and it just, It is wonderful stuff. But let me tell you something. The yeast conquers the dough, as it were. This little bitty thing mixed in makes all the difference in the larger sum. And Jesus says that's the way it is with the kingdom. Doesn't look like much right now, but God's at work. And something beautiful and life-changing is happening. And so, Jesus told those two stories in the middle of this passage so that we see that in this midst of spiritual warfare, it's a world that's full of spiritual warfare, where there are hypocrites, people who profess to follow Christ, but they're not really his. In the middle of that, the kingdom of our Lord will ultimately prevail. When do we see the triumph? Well, I was thinking about the 1500s when the Reformation came along. Nope, that's not the triumph. The triumph is at the end of the age. At the end of the age, there's going to be a harvest. And God, who knows those who are his, promises that he will send his angels to separate those who are his from those who are not, and those who are not his will be destroyed. Now, if you're sitting there salivating and rubbing your hands and saying, I can't wait, there are some people I'm really eager to see destroyed, then you're probably one of the people who's going to be destroyed. Okay? Just so you know. Because you clearly do not share the attitude of God, who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. But folks, saved from what? Saved from perishing. Because there is a day of judgment coming. And when that harvest occurs, there's not going to be a place for the weeds and a place for the wheat and kind of this other place for folks who just, you know, God couldn't decide. I'm not sure if those are weeds or wheat. I'm just not sure what to do with them. We'll put them over here. No. You're either in or you're out. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either trusting in Jesus and him alone or you're not. And so it is imperative for us to understand that while God's kingdom will ultimately prevail, you and I are either going to be in or we're going to be out. We're either going to be in paradise or we're going to be in the lake of fire. Those are our two options. And you can't just play it in the middle. I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want to be one of those holier-than-thou people. I'd like to be kind of as unholy as everybody else. Well, that's the fire pile over there. Well, I don't want to go in the fire. What do I have to do? You need to trust in what he has done. You need to trust him because he's the only one who can save you. It's not about our deeds. It's about his having done what was needed. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose again as conqueror over death. Trust in him. He's the only one who can save.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.